We're joined by Dan Wilcox, a local poet and peace activist, among other groups with Veterans for Peace. And I know that Dan often joins the various peace vigils that take place around the Capital District. So Dan, why don't you tell me during this time of COVID, what are these peace vigils like, and you know, what's sort of the response from people going by?
In a way, peace vigils anticipated the COVID because we're never very big, or rarely big. Occasionally, we'll get a large crowd at one or the other. But for example, in Del Mar, which we do every Monday from 5 to 6 p.m., there's actually five corners there in Del Mar at the, what they call the Four Corners. And there's maybe two people on one corner, or three, or one. And in one corner, where some of the people gather regularly to talk, there might be four or five, but everybody wears a mask. Everybody tries to keep their distance. And so it's been pretty safe. One interesting result of the pandemic was that the Quaker vigil that is done on Wednesdays in front of the Capitol, the first Wednesday of the month in front of the Capitol from about noon to one, and that's been going on for years and years and years. It's probably one of the oldest vigils out there. The Quaker folks, who are generally older and even older than me, decided that they didn't think it was a good idea to be holding the vigil, so they decided not to. But there's a few of us, and it comes to about three or four of us, who show up on the first Wednesday in front of the Capitol with our flags and with our signs just to sort of keep it going. And so while the pandemic has had a major effect on a lot of arts org events and things like that, the vigils keep going because we were not big crowds anyways.
Right. Well, when my wife worked in downtown Albany at the Capitol, she started to show up at the Quaker Peace Vigil out in front of the Capitol because, you know, there's all our friends out there, and she got to come over and talk to them and how things are going. And after a couple of times, people said to her, you know, Judith, this is a Quaker vigil. We're trying to be silent. don't be talking to everybody.
Well, that sort of went by the wayside, I think, over the years, because it is a chance for some of us just to see each other, which we don't all the time, you know. So they, even pre-COVID, they weren't really enforcing the silence thing. Although, personally, I prefer not to get into protracted conversations with people, because when I'm doing the vigil, I like to look at the cars going by. I like to look at the driver or the passenger. Now, sometimes, because of the glare and stuff, I can't really see who it is or anything, but I know where they're sitting. So when I look right at them, it's like I'm making eye contact with them. And also, if they respond in some way with a wave or a thumbs up or a peace sign, then I can respond back to them. So, you know, my own personal preference is to be vigiling and concentrating on the cars going by.
Well, I also understand that the peace vigils are also trying to connect with, you know, broader social issues and movements taking place right now, particularly with all the, of course, it's been endemic for centuries, but the issue of violence against, you know, people of color by police departments.
Yeah, well, that's true. And actually, the vigil in Del Mar, which has been going on since 2003 with the invasion of Iraq, we have more people joining us, and people with signs that say Black Lives Matter, and particularly some younger people have been joining us. And there were a couple times when we had probably 100 people there, where normally we might have 8, 10, 12. And that was because of the Black Lives Matter thing. And I've noticed also the vigil in Chatham that I go to on Saturdays. And again, it's like five or six of us gather there each Saturday from noon to one in that little town square they have. And a number of people bring Black Lives Matter signs. And in fact, I got from Veterans for Peace a wonderful T-shirt that says Black Lives Matter and Veterans for Peace on it. So, you know, and I know that this, it's all the same fight, and all these things are connected. And so we can't really, you can't have a peace without justice, and we have to have justice for everyone in order to establish peace, not just here in the United States, but around the world.
Well, you mentioned you like to look at the people driving by in the cars to see how they're reacting. Have you sensed any change in that reaction during the COVID crisis?
Well, I don't think it's just due to the COVID crisis, although what it has done is disrupted people's schedules. So when I'm in Del Mar every Monday, there's the same corner I usually stand on. And like, for example, during the school year, there were people going by, generally a woman in a SUV with about three kids in the car and their car seats and whatever. And I would see them every week, and I do the peace sign, and a lot of times the window rolled down the back, and these little hands would poke up, and they're going, peace, peace. And one lady actually, when she stopped there at the light, actually told me that, this is the highlight of their ride home every Monday. So, you know, over the years, we've been building sort of relationship with people. I have found that, and I think it may be since the demonstrations across the country and some of the violence that took place at some of the demonstrations, I want to emphasize, that the reaction we're getting sometimes from people going by, the negative reaction is a little bit more virulent. And I remember one fellow was picking up a pizza. He had a pickup truck and stopped in front of the pizza place. And he saw us and he saw the Black Lives Matter sign. He says, take that message downtown. I've seen some opposition that way, and it's more vocal. But in general, if we get one negative comment in an hour, that's about all it is. It's just about one, once in a while, maybe one or two more. But generally, most people going by beep, wave, give us a peace sign, or at worst, just ignore us. So I think there's a lot of support out there for our message.
We only have about 2 minutes left, and I know you are active in the local poetry community. You know, can you just give any update? How is, you know, some of the poet events you've been doing, you know, impacted during COVID? And I see you may want to give us share a poem with us.
Okay. Yeah. Well, generally, the reaction in the poetry world is kind of a mixed thing, because we can't get together and meet at a reading anymore, and I miss the hugs. But with the Zoom readings, people can attend that who aren't even in the area anymore. And I've had friends show up at some of the open mics that are now conducted on Zoom who live in Florida, and they know that the open mic is then. They see the link and they come and they dial in. So while we're not meeting face to face, we are getting together with people we might not otherwise.
1 minute to go.
Okay, so this is my poem, new poem, Radical Left Maniac. Standing vigil for peace or at a demonstration against the latest invasion or racism, the angry people often scream, hippie, my hair is too short. Communist, well, actually socialist would be more accurate. Traitor, peace is patriotic. Get a job, I did. Go home, I am home. When the US invaded Iraq, the FBI branded Veterans for Peace a threat. I proudly made a name tag to wear to demonstrations, threat. Now, President Trump has described me as a radical left maniac. For once, I agree with him. Radical, getting to the root of the issues. Left, where I want to be, from each according to their abilities, to each according to the need. Maniac, yes, crazy for justice, crazy for a clean environment, crazy for love, crazy for peace.
Dan Wilcox, Veterans for Peace and poet. Quickly, Dan, I'll get a website or anything for your poetry?
dwlcx.blogspot.net.
And this has been Mark Dunley for the Hudson Mohawk Radio Network.